probably the most gratifying part of The Chosen that I've been able to experience firsthand is when they've had the Chosen fan conventions. They've had three of them. The last one was just about a month, 2 months ago. I had people come up to me who were Catholic and said they'd returned to the church because of The Chosen. I had an evangelical woman who's still evangelical, but because of The Chosen, she started praying the rosary, and she's shared some really powerful experiences of the rosary. And then the other thing is that all these kind of denominations that were present together, and we were all focused on Jesus and conversations and some debates about things, and, you know, but we were centered on the gospel. And it's just an amazing example of what media can do in our age.
Magnificat is excited to introduce Magnifier, a new bi-monthly magazine for children ages 7 to 12, filled with wholesome offline entertainment that will awaken their sense of wonder to what is good and beautiful around them. Each issue focuses on one theme, approaching it from different angles. Comics, stories, interviews with artisans, crafts, and art encourage children to appreciate creation and dream about what they can accomplish with their talents. Check it out for yourself at magnifiermagazine.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Our Reason for Hope. I just found out the other day from one of our producers that, you know, more than half the people that watch this show, this podcast, do not subscribe to us. This is insane. I mean, what are you waiting for? Hit the subscribe button now. All right, back to the show.
Hello and welcome back to A Reason for Hope. My name is Mario Costabile. I am your host and I am super excited to be with you today. And we have a wonderful guest, Father David Guffey. Did I say that right, Father?
You did.
All right. Right. You're an Irishman, I guess, right?
Yes, sir.
And really excited to have you with us today. We've run into each other over the years. Father is the national director at the Family Theater, which was founded in 1947 in Hollywood, California, by the venerable Patrick Peyton. Is that right?
That's correct. That's right.
Father was a priest dedicated to promoting family prayer through the media. He was best known for promoting the rosary as a priest. Father Peyton used radio, film, and television to produce uplifting content with famous Hollywood stars. Now, I remember, Father, a couple of years back, I was at the studio, the very studio that Father Peyton put together and started, and it was really exciting to be in that space. And you guys are still there, right, in Hollywood?
Still there. In fact, the office that I'm in right now is Father Peyton's office when he ran Family Theater back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Wow, what a blessing. It was really an impressive organization, an impressive mission. Father, tell me a little bit about, you know, Family Theater Productions.
As you said in the introduction, we were founded by a venerable Patrick Peyton. He had this passion to encourage families to pray, especially the rosary. And that was his real passion. But fairly early on, and this would have been in the 1940s, he had the insight that mass media, which at the time meant radio, was the way to reach people's homes and therefore their hearts and invite them to this practice. And so he started in a small way back in Albany, New York. And then he had a chance to do a national radio show in May of 1945. And he went to the Mutual Network and said, you know, I want to do this radio show. I want to invite people to prayer. And they were reluctant, but he kind of talked himself into it. But they said, you can do it, but a couple conditions. And he had to have an orchestra and music, and he had to have a couple of big stars. And he said, well, who's the biggest star? And they said, Bing Crosby. So on Good Friday of 1945, this young priest, Irish priest, cold calls Bing Crosby at his home in Beverly Hills. And Bing Crosby said, I have to talk to my, you know, see if I can. But, you know, Easter Monday, he called him back and said he'd do it. So Bing Crosby was on the first radio show. Anyway, that was a wild success. It was well received, and so we wanted to do it every week. So we went to Hollywood and started a weekly radio show. And our radio show at that time was each week was a radio play, like a radio story. And Father Peyton would invite Hollywood celebrities that he knew through his parish work here in Los Angeles and Hollywood and Beverly Hills. And at the time, you know, they were happy to do it. And so from 1947 until 1968, we had a national radio show. We continue his work of media. We don't do radio anymore. But we, you know, through the years, Father Peyton got into movies and television, and more recently, of course, into internet video and films and all kinds of media, continuing in the great work of Father Peyton.
Wow, amazing. Sort of like the predecessor to Fulton Sheen, right?
Fulton Sheen was ahead of us. In fact, Fulton Sheen really encouraged a young Father Peyton. Fulton Sheen and Father Peyton talked, and Fulton Sheen really encouraged him to get into the media. So he was a mentor of Father Peyton's.
Venerable Fulton Sheen was around in the, I thought he was in the 50s, but I'm mistaken,
well,
right?
He was on television, but he started in radio, actually.
Wow.
He was a radio veteran.
Amazing.
By 1947.
Wow. He certainly had the right idea, whoever encouraged him to bring in celebrities, right? Get the eyeballs, get people interested using, you know, the cachet of Hollywood celebrities to bring people to the faith, which was really brilliant, actually, when you think about it. How has your experience been? You know, you're in Hollywood. I mean, that's like I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of bad demonic influences around in Hollywood. How does the office, the production company, survive amongst all that sort of spiritual warfare?
You know, we've always been really clear about what our mission is. We have a chapel. It's right next door to my office where we have the Blessed Sacrament. We have daily mass or rosary. And so, you know, we try to stay grounded in that sense. The other thing I would say is for as much darkness as there is in Hollywood, there's a core group of people that really want to tell stories that are full of light and hope and even faith. And so it's been really exciting to see how many people there are that want to be part of making quality media and trying to work collaborations and work together to make that happen. The other thing is, you know, I think there's a couple segments in Hollywood. One is the part that's just absolutely opposed to the Christian message, the message of Christ and the Gospels, and are going to try to thwart it. And they're there, for sure. The other side of Hollywood is, you know, they're business people. A lot of Hollywood is just business people. And for a lot of time, really between the 50s and the mid-2000s, Hollywood didn't believe there was an audience for faith-based and family content, especially not Catholic content. And so it was very hard to get produced. It was very hard to get funding. Something changed in 2004 with the release of The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's kind of film with Jim Caviezel playing our Lord. And that proved to Hollywood that there was an audience for Christian content. And I think more recently, The Chosen has proved the same thing for television. So I think we live in a really exciting time. The other thing is, boy, the Spirit's powerfully at work right now. There's people that are showing interest and people that are coming around to the faith in ways I've never seen before. It will be interesting to see what the impact of that will be on Hollywood.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, people want to be entertained. So media has always been a source of information and to be entertained. And what keeps people engaged, and this is, we sort of parallel a ray of hope here with similarly to the mission of what you guys do, is that we evangelize through media, we evangelize through sharing content that is attractive. And one way to make it attractive is that you have to keep the quality really, really high, right? Because we're competing with the secular media. You know, people, especially today, I mean, people, their attention span is like 3 seconds. And if you're, you know, if you're a teenager or less, it's like 0.1 second, you know, it's super, super fast. So tell me about, you know, the really the emphasis, because your stuff has always been great. And you're mentioning, you know, The Passion of the Christ, The Chosen. I mean, these are, and I know you're going to share a little bit your involvement with The Chosen. So, I mean, keeping the quality as best as possible is really paramount, right? Or else people will disengage or have the wrong impression. Maybe you can share about the importance of quality as a conduit to reaching people to deliver the message.
Yeah, you just really hit on something that's so important. And I know you've been an advocate for this for a long time. Is there's a couple levels of quality that we have to look at. The first is just production values. The picture has to look beautiful with interesting shots that are compelling. The sound has to be good so that people can hear. So just on a basic level, that's a challenge. We're so blessed in our age. You know, when I went to film school in the early 2000s, you know, it took a truckload of equipment to make a really, and maybe a generator that to run the lights.
Right, yeah, right.
In the back of a minivan, you can have the same equipment, and I can do a lot of the work on my computer that it took, you know, a dedicated suite of, you know, of complicated hardware to make something happen. So the production values, that's almost the easiest part right now, where it used to be a real challenge. The bigger challenge, I think, is finding really compelling stories and telling them in a compelling way. And also, you have to tell them in a way that's going to speak to the audience. You know, we have to be as clever and as curious about the cultures that we speak to as St. Paul was. When St. Paul went into an area, I love when they talk about him going, I think it was into Athens, and kind of before he started preaching, he walked around to see the area, and he saw these shrines to all these gods, but he saw one to an unknown god. Well, that was Paul kind of figuring out, how do I talk to people? How do I... And that's part of the work of what we do in Catholic media too. Not that we want to pander or dilute the message, but, you know, where do you get a starting point that you can tell a story? And story, I think, is the starting point. That was the genius of Father Peyton with the radio shows. Is they were all radio plays. So it was founded on a great story, but it led, within the story contained, you know, plots and character arcs that showed what faith can do through and what prayer can do. And so we have the same challenge in our day. How do you find really compelling stories that will engage the audience, keep them watching, and help draw them in to the life of faith?
Yeah. And also we have to make them real, right? I think there was a fair amount of faith-based films that just, you know, sometimes they don't hit the mark. It, for lack of a better term, they're kind of corny, right? Or you feel like, this is really, they're working too hard to share the message that to someone that really needs to be evangelized to is not going to land. So what are some of the common mistakes that these faith-based films and media does that is important to avoid?
I think stories that are overly simplistic and then let me give you a couple of ways that I mean that. One is some of the early faith programs sort of had a before and after. Before the person found faith, everything was horrible. The world was horrible. Their life was horrible and everything looked dark. They found faith and then everything was good. The future looked good and everything looked good. Well, usually, and for most of us, it's a more gradual story and there can be a moment of conversion, but also people want to see the struggle because that's what they experience. They experience the struggle of coming to faith. And I think that's part of sometimes people of faith, and we run into this challenge with my own team, is you have to be willing to lead people to see what the darkness looks like in order to really appreciate what conversion, what transformation, what hope will look like, and what light looks like on the other side. So both of those, I think, are ways that we really have to be attentive to story. And then just so much hinges on quality acting, whether really if your actors can really carry the emotional impact. But, you know, it starts with an authentic story that people could see themselves in or that people, it rings true with people.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on A Reason for Hope podcast. Been very grateful of the many years that we've been doing this for you. This is our sixth season with hundreds of podcasts already released. Although they're free to watch and listen to, they're not free to produce. So I'm asking that you discern to contributing and donate to A Reason for Hope podcast. We're a nonprofit organization. Every dollar, every penny is tax deductible. All you have to do is go to our website and click donation and navigate the podcast. All the funds that you donate will go to the production of this podcast. Thanks again, and may God bless you.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, you were somewhat involved with The Chosen. That's an extraordinarily popular series, really one of its kind. When it came out, there wasn't really anything like we just shared. The quality, the level of the actors, the level of production was really, really the first of its kind in that kind of television production. So what was your involvement in that, Father?
You know, about 10 years ago, a friend of a friend of mine said, hey, I know somebody is producing this, is written this series about the apostles, and he wants a Catholic to read it and give a Catholic perspective. And there was only 4 episodes at that time. So I looked at it, I read it, I really thought there was something there. Frankly, I never thought it'd get produced because it just seemed so good and so close to the gospel. But that's before I really understood who Dallas Jenkins was, who's the writer, director, producer of the series. And then throughout the season since then, the only season I didn't consult on was season 2 because I had a conflict with other projects I had going on. But usually what they usually do, there's a number of consultants that he sends the scripts to. We read them, and my charge was, what he said to me is, read this from Catholic eyes. He's an evangelical himself, but to his credit, he really wanted the gospel to come alive in as broad a way as possible, and he didn't want to unconsciously have things in there that would be a distraction for Catholics. So every season I give him notes and about things. Most of the notes he's taken seriously. Some of the notes, you know, he hasn't. And then the other thing is, I think, you know, the Catholic audience isn't a monolithic audience. You know, we have Catholics have a variety of kinds of perspectives. And so, you know, there's some, it's hard to kind of account for all of that and to kind of please everyone. I think he has made an attempt. And then, by the way, at the end of the process, four of the consultants get together and have a conversation about that. That became the Bible Roundtables. Those have been filmed. And that's with Rabbi Jason Sobel, who's a Messianic Jewish rabbi, Dr. Douglas Huffman, who's a evangelical biblical scholar, myself, and then Dallas Jenkins. And we have a conversation. And, you know, when we first did them, I thought, I'll participate. I'm happy to. Happy to have a discussion, if nothing else. But I didn't think anybody would watch it. And they turned out to be fairly popular. People who don't know me from anything else, you know, people will come up to me in airports and thank me for the Bible Roundtable discussions that we've had. So that's been very pleasing. And probably the most gratifying part of The Chosen that I've been able to experience firsthand is when they've had Chosen fan conventions. They've had 3 of them. The last one was just about 2 months ago. And at those I had people come up to me who were Catholic and said they returned to the church because of The Chosen. I had an evangelical woman who's still evangelical, but because of The Chosen, she started praying the rosary, and she's shared amazing. Some really powerful experiences of the rosary. And then the other thing is that all these kind of denominations that were present together, and we were all focused on Jesus and conversations and some debates about things, and, you know, but we were centered on the gospel. And it's just an amazing example of what media can do in our age.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And if memory serves me, didn't Jonathan Rumi go through your theater at some point in time in his career?
Yeah, I've known Jonathan for 20 years. He used to come to events at Family Theater. We have a monthly gathering for people in the industry called Prayer and Pasta.
I like that.
And it's just what it says. We have some prayer together, a pasta dinner, and then we usually have a speaker that's either about spiritual formation, or sometimes it's about industry stuff, like how to get an agent, or, you know, we've had writers come and talk to us about their journey. But anyway, but Jonathan used to come to that, and Jonathan worshiped at the parish where I reside, and I help in residence. And about, and think about 2015, he played Jesus in the live Stations of the Cross that we did on Good Friday afternoon. And
wow,
it was really compelling then. Some of the photos that I took of him in that, I think he used for his reel when he was applying for The Chosen. And, you know, when I knew him at first, he was struggling. He's a musician. He did some work in parishes. He was everything Catholic, you know, always at the Catholic stuff in Hollywood, but really struggling as an actor. In fact, I think he was almost ready to give the whole thing up when The Chosen came along, and oh my gosh, has Jonathan's life changed.
Yeah, and he really is a wonderful evangelist regarding when people inquire about The Chosen. He isn't bashful about his Catholicity, who he is as a Catholic, and shares various components of our Catholic faith and really educates people in a very loving way. And I've seen some of his interviews, you know, on secular television. And he's really doing an amazing job without coming across as righteous or coming across as someone that knows better than anybody else. He's kind of just sharing the faith in a beautiful way. So he's really been a beautiful example, a beautiful spokesman for our church.
He really has. And the other thing I would say is, I know about 40 Jonathans in Hollywood, you know, people who are just that way. Jonathan was always that way. He didn't start when he got the part, but people are, it's almost like if you're going to be a really faithful Catholic in Hollywood, you have to be a strong Catholic because there's a lot of opposition and a lot of temptation. And there's just a lot of people, but actors, writers, producers like Jonathan that I've met, who really want to do the good thing, would that they could all find the success and that God would bring them the opportunities that they brought Jonathan.
Yeah, that's amazing. Shift gears a little bit. So Gen Zers are, it seems like they're very engaged in our faith. It seems like the sector of young people, they're on social media, they're very vocal about their faith, and many of them are returning back to church and engaged in the church. And how can we as a church better engage and inspire young people to watch films, be involved in what the messaging is online, and to share it? It seems like we could even do a better job to really assisting and helping young people be drawn to the Catholic Church.
That's a great question. And I'm sure your team and I know my team asks that question a lot. A couple things that I would say that we should be careful not to do. And one thing is Gen Z and even the generation before them, they're very conscious of being marketed to. And so they kind of have a sixth sense of when somebody is trying to sell them something in an insincere way. And so I think a lot of the successful TikTok sites and social media sites are people who are really genuinely sincere. They're looking right at the camera. I think Father Mike Schmitz is an example of this. You know, he looks right at the camera and just tells it, and you know he believes it, and you know it's kind of there for you to believe or not. And then going back to our earlier part of our conversation, I think that, you know, authentic stories, and stories that let people draw their own conclusions. So it's we don't need to spoon feed people. And then thirdly, I think the beauty of our tradition, the beautiful spaces that we have for worship and prayer and the power of the liturgy and the power of music and all kind of the whole range of music that we have available. I think all of that is a way that we can speak to Gen Z. And beyond that, the Holy Spirit's at work in a way that I would not have predicted, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, I mean, we've turned into a global village, right? I mean, there's so many ways that we can reach people instantaneously, so fast, you know? I think it's exciting. I think it's an exciting period where, as content creators, I feel that we're always on the edge to try to figure out a new way that we can reach people and draw them toward Christ. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Father, is that telling stories, witnessing to the faith is really powerful because we're sharing our heart, you know, and we're sharing what all of us experience, you know, suffering, pain, discouragement. And Jesus is our Savior, right? He came to save us and to inform people, let people know that we have a solution. You know, you just have to see it. And by through media and sharing that faith, that beauty is really powerful. And I wanted to talk about a new project that you're working on. It's Chime Travelers. Is that what it's called?
That's it, yeah.
It was created by Lisa Hendy, whom we know very well here at Array of Hope. I've had many discussions with her, but I didn't know that she was an author, which is really beautiful. She wrote these children books for younger audiences, which we're talking about now. Maybe, Father, you can share a little bit about what this project is, your hope for it, and its intention.
Sure. You know, about 8 years ago, we really wanted to start doing children's programming. For all the family content we'd done, we really hadn't done anything explicitly for children. And I knew Lisa, and I'd kind of seen her children's book series, Chime Travelers, but I got a set of them, and we passed them around the office, and we loved them. And we thought this could be a real opportunity to bring her idea to the screen. And so we worked with Lisa and license rights and did all that stuff that you have to do. But Lisa stayed a really important part of our team. We also brought on Herald Entertainment, who are responsible for they've done the Brother Francis series and Saints Alive series and other things. So they really know the animation world really well. And together with Lisa and Herald Entertainment, our producer here at Family Theater, Ann Yancey, we were able to kind of bring her characters to life in the story of Katie and Patrick, two twins who travel through time.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the idea is that Katie and Patrick are twins. They have a little sister and a mom and dad. They go to a Catholic school. Their family is active in the parish. But every once in a while, you know, something will come up at home, a conflict at home, or there's a situation at school that's a conflict. And what Katie and Patrick come to find is that when a church bell rings, they're transported back in time and they don't know where they're going. And all of a sudden they find themselves somewhere. And as it turns out, they come in and encounter a person who turns out to be, later they discover, is a saint. And the saint goes through some of the same issues that they're going through. And as the saint resolves the conflict in their day, Katie and Patrick get wisdom to take back with them to their school. So when the bell chimes again, they go back to the present time and address the conflict and have some wisdom to deal with what is happening back at home. So it's a fun series. It's chime traveling. It's getting to meet the saints before they were saints, when they were just regular people. But it's also a way to say to kids and their parents, who hopefully also will enjoy the series, that you know, there's this treasury of wisdom that we have from the lives of the saints, and it still can be so important for us today.
What a great concept. That's so cool. That's so great. Where can we see this?
The best way, all the ways to see it are on the website. It's chimetravelers.org. And that's the website. And right now it's on the Hallow platform. And it's also on Formed. It will be going to other platforms as we develop more the second and third seasons. We're already producing season two, and we're working on future episodes. We think this will, you know, there's an inexhaustible number of saints and great stories that we can draw from. So we hope that this will go on for a long time. The website has ways that you can see it, some trailers, some behind-the-scenes things, but it also has fun things for kids. There's coloring pages and activity pages that parents can download. There's we have a video game that we made for children that they can play. And so there's a lot of fun stuff on the website that's completely free, chimetravelers.org.
That's amazing. And what is the demographic? What is the age that you're trying to reach?
The books were written for kids 6 to 11.
Okay.
We think it will halo out, so it could go like as early as 4. A test group with my nieces and nephews, and I have a set of 3.5-year-old twins, and they loved it. Maybe because the Katie and Patrick are twins, but Louie and Gianna really loved. But basically, 5 to 11 is probably the key age. we made it in a way that we hope that it's not, that parents will enjoy it too. I know sometimes when kids find something they like, they watch it over and over and over again.
And yeah, yeah.
I think this may be one of those shows we're hoping.
How long is each segment?
There, it's about 22 to 25 minutes. So about a half hour.
I mean, I'm disconnected from it, but I don't think there's many things like this out there, is there?
Not much in the Catholic world. There's only in the evangelical Protestant world, but there's just not a lot of Catholic kids content out there.
That's great.
Which is one of the reasons we were looking to produce some,
that's great.
You know, to do this kind of content.
It's great timing. I'm going to show my age now, but when I was a kid, I think it was Sunday mornings, I used to watch David and Goliath.
Yeah, sure, that the Lutherans did.
Davy and Goliath.
Yeah,
it was so. I mean, the animation was like so primitive and so awkward and funny, but I was attracted to it as a kid. So I know that kids are attracted to learning more about God. I know that even with my own grandkids, when I start talking about God, they kind of listen up, which is really beautiful and it's a gift in itself. So I'm so glad that you guys are doing this. It's really, I'm certainly going to turn it on to my family and my grandkids. So I guess I wanted to leave you with one sort of last question. And thank you, Father, for all this great information. I want to really let as many people know about this program as possible. What would you offer some young Catholic filmmakers or writers that are, you know, that want to share content, that want to sort of make a difference in the Catholic space? What would you advise them? How would you encourage them to what to do and how to kind of break in?
Learn story. Really, the story structures that speak to the human heart are as old as Aristotle. They're as old as the parables of Jesus. And so I would say really make sure that you read and you study the ways that stories are structured and told in a way that communicate hope and joy and vision and excitement and that are entertaining. So that certainly would be one part of it. The other thing I would say is, even before you start trying to be a professional, just create, you know, there's such opportunities today with one of these, with a cell phone, you can begin the journey of making content. And I've seen people go from, you know, telephone, videos that they make to professional videos. But you do, one thing I would say though, is it can be a slow line, and for professional video and the professional work, it takes a lot more skill than you think. But start developing that skill by creating and creating things, and I encourage people to explicitly create things that communicate their deepest values, that communicate their faith from the very beginning. It's fun. It's fun to do the humorous stuff and the tricks and the little dances and things, but can you find that story? Can you find that way to communicate your faith and look for ways to do that? And I think Gen Z is going to be, you know, you and I, we use the technology. We're probably pretty good at the technology, but Gen Z grew up with it.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's really part of who they are. And I can't wait to see the stories they tell and the things they create because of it.
Yeah, I remember, I'm showing my age again, but I remember when I was a kid, if we wanted to do anything like this, we had to get an 8mm camera and then develop it and cut it by hand. It was really, really involved. And now, like you said, a phone, what's that program, Jimmy? CapCut? That's a really easy phone app that you can cut video to. So certainly encourage young people that if they feel creative, you just got to do it. It's just like anything else. Just go and do it. Get, you know, start putting something together that will inspire people and start, you know, get you started. Father, is there anything else that you want to share or anything that you want to bring up that the theater is doing that's on deck or you're working on?
We have our internet shows, Catholic Central and Catolico, that are more catechetical, and they're free on YouTube, Catholic Central and Lenta Catolico, a Spanish language version of that. We had a film come out this year that's out there, Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story about a conversion of a Chicago DJ who really found his way back to faith when he found a broken statue of Mary, and it gave him the insight that God loves us in our brokenness. So Broken Mary is out there. So both those things are out there. But one thing I would say to your audience, and when you find something you like, when you find something that touches your heart, please tell people about it. One of the hardest things in Catholic media is finding the audience for it. So if you really find something you think others would appreciate, please have the courage to share it on your Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever platforms you're on so that others can find that great content too.
Yeah, good point. It's something that our evangelical brothers and sisters do really well. They're always talking about their faith and sharing it, but Catholics really do, right? They really say, hey, I got a great Catholic film. You guys got to check it out with your family. Good point, Father. Thank you so much. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time and your work and your dedication and praise God that you guys are still trucking along after all these years. It certainly is a great example of the good work that you're doing. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mario, thank you so much. Thanks for your great work with the Ray of Hope and this show. And I look forward to talking again.
All right. Peace. God bless you, Father.
Bye now.
In addition to producing this podcast, Array of Hope is also known for producing events such as retreats, missions, conferences, and concerts. If you'd like to learn more about what we offer, just go to our website and click on Experience. There you can see and learn all the various programs that we offer. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.